Good morning, BK. Family, it is so great to hear you. Please say hello in the chat. Let us know that you are here. It's just wonderful to be in God's presence and to be with you once again. I'm looking forward to hopefully next week being in person. It's been great connecting with you online, but I definitely look forward to seeing you. I'm grateful for who God is and him just allowing us to be together in the land of the living one more time. So thank you. Good morning, Io. Hopefully Matt's there. Good morning. So it's wonderful to be with you. I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to come forward and help us with our opening, even as we begin our time together. Thank you, family.
Morning, all. We're gonna start off this morning in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. And it reads, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And as I read this passage this morning and was thinking about the last couple of sermons in our series on creating spiritual environments for thriving, I was just thinking about, the most important element in any of those environments is the presence of God and is His Spirit. And so just wanted to read these verses in our hearing this morning so that we can remember that when we are with God, when we are in God, when He is for us, there is none who can be against us, be it a person or a situation or an exam or whatever. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Amen. And so I invite you to join me in singing this song to God this morning, just a reminder of who He is, what He's done, and where we are in Him.
None like you.
is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Water you turn into wine. You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. 'Cause our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. As we sing this next part, get in your mind that thing in your life right now that's threatening to exalt itself above the name of God, that thing that is seeming like it's bigger. And as we sing this next part, just envision God crushing it. Just see him as bigger than it, and it having absolutely no power, no control, no say in your life.
And if our God is for us, then who can ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Then what can stand against?
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence here in this place. We thank you for being greater and stronger and higher than any other name that would try to exalt itself above yours. We thank you for this opportunity to gather in your presence, to hear your word, to connect with your people, to be with you. And God, we ask that as you continue to reveal your word to us about creating spiritual environments where we can thrive and others can thrive, we ask that you would be there with us, that your spirit, we would remember, is that main ingredient. And we ask that you would have your way in us, around us, and through us this day and moving forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Lady Rochelle, for leading us forward in song. And family, I'm going to ask that you just take a moment and greet each other. Say hi to one another. You can come off mute and and just share if you like. I would like you to, but just say hi. I don't hear anyone. Ah, excellent. Hey, thank you, Stephen. Hi, Io. Good morning. Hello, Lauren. Hello, Marvin. All right. And I know Hannah's there in the background somewhere. So wonderful, wonderful. Okay. There we go. Thank you. Okay. We're going to continue our series on creating spiritual spaces that work. Well, this is actually our series on thriving and really living the life that God has for you. And I know that it's something that will need to happen on purpose. It's not going to happen by accident. But the question is, how can we thrive in all the things that God has for us? And I would like to place the second installment on this lesson, creating spiritual spaces that work. Creating spiritual spaces that work. Our opening text is going to be the book of 1 John, beginning at the 4th chapter, reading verses 1 through 6. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because God who is in you is greater than the enemy who is in the world. We are talking about creating spiritual spaces that work. God, we thank you so much for this time together. We pray that you would have your will and that you would have your way. We thank you for your goodness and your graciousness. And God, we pray that you would speak your word. Help us to leave this place looking more like you, knowing more of who you are, knowing more about who we are in you. God, please do what only you can do. Redeem this time for your glory. Let us be better for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are times in my walk with God when I have felt less than capable. Not powerful. I felt defeated or close to defeat. I would hear and read scripture verses such as Isaiah 54:17, and it became clearer to me that I had enemies as well as comrades. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Moreover, when I came to recognize that this whole life scenario, while it includes me, it is bigger than me. I am a member of much bigger work, and the work has eternal consequences. There are sides of following Jesus. Jesus shared with his disciples the reality. He shared the pitfalls and the benefits of affiliation. One downside of following Jesus, John recorded in the 15th chapter and the 18th verse, Jesus told his disciples, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Now, the upside of following Jesus Christ can be found in 1 John 4:4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." On what side of your experience in following Jesus Christ do you find yourself most? Do you feel the greatness of God within you? Do you see and experience your victory over the things that are against you? How do we walk victoriously? How do we claim our spaces for Christ, creating an environment that works for the things of God? And as we move forward, I want to remind you about better and brighter. If we look at Jesus' words in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, beginning at verse 13 through verse 16, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." When we talk about being better, when I talk about being better, my encouragement is for you to do you. Be better at being yourself than trying to be somebody else. Succeed in being you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, find yourself someplace in here because Paul teaches us there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another of gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So one of the things you can be assured of is that God is with you and he has given you gifts by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the question is, well, what is my gift? But that allows you to be better. Now, on being brighter, my encouragement and recognition is that you shine your best when you walk in the fullness of who God has called you to be. You shine your best when you walk in the fullness of who God calls you to be. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, these words are recorded. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." For our text today, I want us to consider Jesus and an encounter he had with his adversary, Satan. And Matthew records this in the fourth chapter, beginning at the first verse. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and afterwards was hungry, now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to Satan, "It is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And again the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. As I was meditating on this passage, there were a couple of things that I noticed. First thing that I noticed is that God is never out of control. God is never out of control. If we're going to create spiritual spaces that work for the will of God to move forward, we have to recognize that no matter what environment we find ourselves, God is still in control. In the first verse of chapter 4 of Matthew, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Yes, Jesus was going to be tempted by the devil, but scripture says that the Spirit of God was who was leading Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. I appreciate Psalm 34:19. David said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." God is never out of control. The second thing that I notice is that Jesus is fully human in his experiences. In the second verse, it says, "And when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry." It does not make sense when we are on this spiritual walk to not acknowledge what we are experiencing in our body and what we are experiencing in our humanity. We don't see scripture skipping over the fact that Jesus was fully human even as he was fully God. The third thing that I noticed is that the enemy is advantageous. Scripture said that Jesus had fasted and now he was hungry. And in the third verse, it says, "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Satan tried to tempt Jesus based on his flesh. Now, when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." One thing to recognize is that Satan meets Jesus when Jesus is weak in the flesh, when Jesus is hungry, and tries to exploit Jesus' condition with a food-related temptation, even though the opportunity is not at all about food. In this case, it is about dependence upon and trusting God. So one of the things to recognize is that the enemy is going to come to you when you are in a weak place, and in that weak place, he's going to tempt you because you are too strong for him to tempt you when you are not weak. And the fourth thing that I notice is that Jesus confronts his enemy. Jesus, rather than convince himself that the enemy doesn't exist, Jesus confronts his enemy. Verse 4 reads, "But Jesus answered and said, it is written." Who did Jesus answer? Jesus answered his enemy, Satan, the devil. If we're going to create spiritual spaces that work, we're going to come into a scenario where we're going to encounter forces against what God wants to do. It may feel like the force is against us, but the force is against what God wants to do. And because we represent the things of God, or because we have potential in Christ, the forces will try to trip us up on the things that God wants to do. So how are we to respond? Four things I would like to share with you. I think there are four. The first is to respond like Jesus, speak God's word. To respond like Jesus, speak God's word. Maybe it doesn't need to be said, but I'm going to say it. If we are going to live victoriously, we can take Jesus' response and Jesus' life as a pattern for what we should do. So the first thing is to speak God's word. Scripture says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. And the tempter came, and the tempter said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And it is said, but Jesus answered and said to him, "I don't think I should do that, no." It says that Jesus said to him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The most powerful weapon you have for creating spiritual spaces that work is the word of God. We spoke about it before. The word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God that is both offensive and defensive. The word of God that is living, quick, and powerful. To respond like Jesus, number two, remain humble and remember who you represent. Be secure in your identity in Christ. If you notice, the first thing that Satan says, the first thing that Satan does to preference each of his temptations and requests of Jesus, he says, if you are, be secure in your identity in Christ. And know who you are in Christ so that you don't fall into the temptation of trying to prove to others who you are in Christ. We have to respond like Jesus and remain humble and remember who we represent. Lift not up your heart, lest God remind you of who you are and who he is. The Bible says that the devil took Jesus into the holy city. He set him up on the pinnacle of a temple, and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Jesus could have said, "I am the Son of God. I'll prove to you that I'm a Son of God. I'll throw myself off from here. I'll put myself in a risky scenario. I'll show off for you just to show you that I am God." But when you know who you are on the inside, you don't need to prove to anybody on the outside who you are, because it's more important who God is than it is who you are. And so Jesus did not lift up his heart and said, "I'm going to prove to you that I am the Son of God." He recognized it's not about him, but it's about God. The third thing, if we're going to respond like Jesus, we need to remain loyal. We can only serve one master. In the third temptation, Satan said to Jesus, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." The fourth thing Jesus did is Jesus removed the hindrance. Create distance between yourself and what is trying to distract you and subtract from God's work. We just read Jesus' response in verse 10, "Away with you, Satan." At some point, we have to create distance between the thing that is trying to prevent God's will from moving forward and ourselves. We can't keep buddying up with the things that are trying to tempt us against who God is. We can't always play nice with the things that are trying to get us to fall and to slip, because the reality is those things are not playing nice with us. The enemy is not trying to be good for us. The Bible says that the devil walks around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 23 through 26, it says, when Jesus came into the ruler's house, we looked at this last week and saw that the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed Jesus. But when the crowd was put outside, Jesus went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the lands. Jesus was about to do a miracle. And when he was in a place where people were doubting and people were going further than doubting, they were ridiculing Christ's words, he put them out in order for him to do the work that he wanted to do. But let's get down to the tactical pieces about creating a spiritual environment that works. Let's talk about what you speak. What you speak. Prayers and praises. Declarations and intentions and invitation. You speak prayers and praises. It may be a song. It just may be you speaking. It may be you writing. But let it come out of you. Prayers and praises. Declarations and intentions and invitations. When I would go into the AFAM house, and it's a Sunday morning, and I need to minister God's word, and there's all these things distracting me or seeking to take my mind off of what God wants to do, or when I'm in a place where I'm thinking too much about myself, where I should be thinking more about you, I find myself going into a quiet room. I would go into the art gallery and I would just begin to sing to myself and trying to invite God, not just into the physical building, which is what I wanted him to do. I wanted him to his spirit to inhabit the physical building, but I also wanted him to inhabit me. And I wanted him to push out anything and everything that would seek to be a distraction or a hindrance to what he wanted to do. And in order to do that, I needed to submit myself to anything God wanted to do. And one of the songs I would sing would be, you know, welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands, as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. I would be in lab, and lab would be a hostile scenario because people would be there with all types of agendas, and I would get there early in the morning and I would say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you my heart we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. And when I recognized that I couldn't control anything around me necessarily, and I couldn't control other people, I recognized I could control myself, and I would say, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am, everything I'm not, everything I've got, I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see, see if I can be completely yours. And when I thought that I, you know, didn't have enough to do what God would want me to do, I would sing those words, I'm Lord's joy, everything I am and everything I'm not and everything I've got. The author of Hebrews said in Hebrews 13, 15 and 16, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I recognize that two ways I could set the atmosphere towards God's will. One, I could just serve. Do specifically what God was calling me to do. I could serve, I could tithe, I could just walk completely in his will and not try to fulfill my own desire and my own potential. And the second thing that I recognize is that I could speak praises to his name. I could say, God, thank you so much for who you are. I give you all the honor and all the glory. I exalt your name on high. You are the one, the true, the living God. There is no one beside you in all the heavens and in all the earth. God, you sit high, but you look low. I thank you because there's nothing too hard for you. I worship you. I adore you. I magnify you. I give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. God, come into this place. Be who you can be. Do all that you purpose to do. And I appreciate Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Anytime you're in the company of people, you can say it for yourself and command your body to praise the Lord. But you could also read this at the beginning of a gathering of people, a gathering of saints, and say, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellence, greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the trumpets, the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, we've read this before at a previous time, but King Solomon had just built a temple to house the Ark of God, to represent God's presence and to try to make a home for God. And Solomon and the people of Israel are dedicating this temple to God. And the Bible says that when Solomon had finished praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled God's house. And that's what we want. That's what you want in whatever environment you are in. You want the glory of the Lord to manifest itself in your space. And you may say, well, Pastor, how long do you sing? You sing until the glory of the Lord manifests itself where you are. You say, well, how long do I pray? You pray until God's glory comes into you and then comes into the space that you are. Well, how long do I praise and I exhort? You do it until the glory of the Lord comes into the place. I am convinced that if we would spend more time inviting the glory of the Lord into the things that we were doing and into our spaces, we would have to spend less time wrestling with what we are trying to accomplish. I spent more time trying to force things in my hand when it was really in God's hand to make the difference. And when I began to switch what I was working on to praising God and inviting God to be God alone and do what only he can do, situations resolved themselves without me having to put in all this extra work and try to do things in my own strength. So what does your Holy Spirit's gifting prompt you to do? What does your Holy Spirit's gifting prompt you to do? In the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, we read this last week. It says Jesus was talking about him being in a region in a certain space. And it says, now Jesus could do no mighty work there. It said that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And this is what got me. It says, then Jesus went about the villages in a circuit teaching. When Jesus was coming up against opposition, he leaned into his strength. He leaned into how God gifted him. Jesus would teach, and scripture says that people marvel and said, "Who is this man?" And when he was a boy asking questions, then to him, "Who is this boy asking us these profound things? Who is this man teaching these things as if he is God himself?" And that's who Jesus represented. Jesus represented God. I won't read this whole text, but I invite you to read it. It's 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 23. But this is a time where Saul is king. And God has removed his hand from Saul, removed the anointing, and God has anointed David as king. And scripture says that that the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit came upon Saul. And so Saul would be in great distress. And then Saul's people said, "There is a man who is a servant of yours, a Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and handsome person. And the Lord is with him." And scripture says that Saul sent messengers to get David and to bring David to where Saul was. And scripture says that David came and stood before Saul. And whenever a distressing spirit was upon Saul, that David would take out his harp and that David would play with his hand, and Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. There is a gift that you have, that when you walk in that gift, it might seem easy for you, but two things: because you are skillful and because God has anointed you, situations will change because you are walking in that gift. And then two things: what you fast your pride, or whatever has you thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. You edge this out through fasting and through prayer. If you look at the story of Esther in chapter 4, verses 15 through 17, Esther is being encouraged to approach the king, because her people are about to be annihilated. And Esther is afraid, because anybody who approaches the king who is not invited to, the king can kill them. But Mordecai, who raised Esther, her uncle, he said, "Who knows, you may be in the castle for such a time as this." And so Esther said these words. She said, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." And what I appreciate about Esther is that she was willing to put herself aside. She was willing to put her well-being aside. She was willing to put her fear aside. And she fasted to edge those things out, to allow herself to lean into God and to trust God. And then finally, the things that you move distractions, and you move unbelief, and you remove oneself. You remove anything that is physical, anything that is tangible, anything that reminds you or distracts you or tempts you or anyone around you against the things of God. You move it away. And when necessary, you move away. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you as such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Look for the way of escape. You do not have to stay in the presence of anything that is trying to take you against God's will. Look and see whether God is giving you an out, and he is calling you not to stay, but to leave. And even as I say all these things, I recognize that there are some pitfalls and caveats. You can only pray the scriptures that you know. You can only sing the songs you know. And I recognize that you can only speak God's promises that you know. But here is some good news for you. Jesus told his disciples in John 7, he says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. Even if you don't know the words to say, even if you don't know the songs to sing, God's Spirit is still with you. And you can make up your own melody, and God will speak through you and give you what to say and give you what to speak. David said in Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. And so this is our opportunity. Trust God and hope in God. No matter what situation you find yourself, when you're in an environment trying to do God's will, and you need to shift the environment, trust God and hope in God. Jeremiah 17:7-8, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which spread out its roots by the river and will not fear when he comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding its fruit. Trust in God. Put your confidence in him. Don't hope in man. Don't hope in your own strength, but hope in the things of God. And in closing, I mentioned to you last week about these nourishment centers for your life. And it's based off of the scripture, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So create for yourself, I'll email you this, I emailed it last week, but create for yourself a spiritual toolkit, a spiritual tool belt, where you have at your disposal quick access songs that lift you, thoughts that speak to you, experiences that rejuvenate you, and you can run to those experiences, friends who encourage you, and you can surround yourself by those friends, recreations that recreate you, help you to bring new life into yourself, family members that care for you, spiritual exercises that strengthen your faith, hopes and dreams of God that allow you to think forward into the things of Christ, books that change you and challenge you to be more like Christ, memories that make you smile, and gifts that activate you, that challenge you, that nourish you. You have a role to play in creating spaces that work. Prepare and practice creating an atmosphere of worship. Welcome God into all your spaces. Help create life-giving spaces for others. Two things. When you complete your, as you fill out your spiritual nourishment list, I would love to see it. Please do send it to me. One of the things that I would like to do when we're in person, and prayerfully that will be next Sunday, is that I would like to give space for us to collectively practice creating an atmosphere of worship. While we're together, let's see what songs you have that you would bring forward to create an atmosphere of worship. What scripture passages do you have? What scripture verses do you have that will help empower us to create an atmosphere for God's will to come forward? What music would you play? What instrument would you play? Next week, I hope us to do that, because it's one thing to talk about it, but it's something completely different to do it. So please do complete the Nourishment Center handout. Fill your spiritual tool belt. Arm yourself with the things of God. Think ahead. What is one space that can use a Holy Spirit-filled, life-giving atmosphere? And what will you do to help build it? It may be coming up tonight. It may be coming up this week. It may be coming up this semester. It may be coming up in a future internship or job or experience that you have coming up. Where is a place where you need God's atmosphere to be there? And then finally, consider Psalm 34. So I'm going to pause here. And I invite you just to take time to think. And After that, I'm going to ask us to share any praise reports and any prayer requests. So if we can just take a moment and just meditate on what we heard. And I'll ask Lady Rochelle to come and lead us in our closing song. Thank you, family. Are there any, what are your praise reports? What are your prayer requests? Please feel free to just unmute if you want. You can come on video. You can put them in a chat. What are your praise reports? What are your prayer requests? Pray. Feel free to share it at any time. God, we thank you. We thank you so much. We lift up your name. God, we thank you because even when we are not God, it's awesome. Two things are awesome just in the praise reports that were shared. One, how when we lean into what you are showing us, things get better for us. When we put into practice some things that you've been telling us or giving us insight about, you give us more insight and things begin to unfold in a way that help us to flourish in you, in Jesus, in your Son Jesus Christ. And God, I just also praise you because of the prayer reports that you are a type of God who can give us unexpected blessings. And I know for me, I expect a lot, and even to think that you can still surprise us on top of that. You can still, God, it just shows us the truth of your word that your thoughts of us are in greater number than the sand on the seashore. And we, I know I'm often self-centered and thinking about myself a lot, dear God, but you even outthink me about me. So God, we just praise you so much for being thoughtful about your children, but also about those all over the world. We thank you for continually thinking about us and wanting good things for us in Christ. God, pray for all those under the sound of my voice that you would continue to lead them and guide them in all that you have called them to do and who you've called them to be. Give them your divine favor, God. Give them your anointing. Help them to walk in their strength. Help them to walk in their gifting, to be better and to shine brighter. Because when the scripture says that a person shines bright and they're a lamp, it says it gives light to the whole house. God, we recognize that what you do in our life is not just for us, but it has positive life-giving impact to all those who are around us. God, please continue to do all that you purpose to do. And this is our promise, dear Lord. Well, this is my promise, and this is my hope for us all, that we will give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We will not rob you of the glory that is due your name, but we will make sure that we give it unto you. God, we thank you for all things. Do all that you purpose to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, we are going to sing our closing song. We've come this far by faith. I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to come forward and help us to sing. I think you've heard enough of my singing today. But we're going to ask Lady Rochelle to come forward and just encourage you to sing.
we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far.
Family, even as we go into this week, and even as I joke about my singing, my encouragement for you is to be willing to be uncomfortable in order to get the results that you need. You know, be willing to do what might be uncomfortable or what you might not be perfect in doing in order to allow God to be perfect and to do what only He can do. God, thank you for this people. Go before them. Set the atmosphere where they're going to be. Make it conducive for your perfect will to be done. Give them good success this week according to your definition of success. We thank you for all things. Until we meet again, keep us in Christ Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray and we say, amen. Amen. Amen.